Hi, and welcome to the Macro Show. We talk macro, and probably half of you are just tuning in to see if I've quit yet. But I'm still here. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter. In today's show, we're going to figure out, has the Fed lost control of the bond market? What is going on with the bond market? Why does it keep persistently selling? Is it ever going to end? Does this mean we're going to see secular inflation? What is going on there? We're going to look at the economic data. But my friends, if there's any conviction that I'm still here, we will wear the crown for the whole episode. All right, so first off the bat, some of you have heard I'm going to be going on Macro Voices. They were looking for a guest who didn't have an inflationary view. And while I've never been invited to go on the show, thanks to all of you who encouraged Eric and Patrick to have me on the show, I got the nod. But here's the irony of the situation. That episode, which we'll record at the end of next month, will be aired on April Fool's Day. I know. The irony of the situation is great. Okay, so let's talk about what's going on in the bond market, because a lot of people really don't understand the bond market at all. You know, we look at the equity market and there, you know, it's always fun to chase, you know, your favorite tech stock and all that. But the bond market tells you so much of how the economy is really performing. And what we're seeing, and we have seen, is the short end of the curve. And what do I mean by that? You're talking like 3-year, 2-year, and 12-month and less maturity. Treasury bills just aren't moving. I mean, they mean a little bit, but they're not budging. The long end of the curve is obviously going down. The front of the curve tells you financial conditions are super duper tight. The long end is saying we have no clue what's going on here, but someone keeps selling us. So why do we see this selling? Well, one of the reasons we've talked about is these quantitative, or what are called CTAs. These are formula-based machines, and they have a large, apparently much larger pool of money than I thought. And what they do is they have a formula that is traded based on price. So it's not by charts. You know, they don't look at lines and draw lines on charts or any of that. It just says if prices hit a certain level based on the formula, today you will buy, hold, or sell. And when you make your decision to move, you will move by this much. And so they end up there, a lot of them are short. Now, a fan of the show sent me a report from TD Ameritrade, who I didn't even know had CTAs. Now, what's really cool is I'm a TD Ameritrade institutional advisor. And so I asked to get a copy of the report and to be a regular subscriber, to which they said no. So I had to beg for it. And finally, they said, okay, yeah, you're in the game. You're with us. And so it's neat now. I can see their exact positioning. I can't tell you or share it with you because it is proprietary, but I can see the price levels, what their movements will be across a lot of different spaces. What I can tell you is in the government bond market, not just the US, but all across the world, these machines are short. So why is that act causing interest rates just to go down so much? And right, because they're, I mean, not down, I'm sorry, wrong arrow. Why is it causing them to go up? And why is it just in such volatility? Because a lot of people do not understand what shorting the bond market does and how it actually functions. So if you're gonna short the bond market, you go to a dealer and you borrow, right? So here's your bond. You're going to borrow the bond. Now, keep in mind, the dealer holds the original. They're going to borrow it. So the dealer makes a copy of the bond. I want you to catch the fact that we've gone from 1 to 2. This is not sleight of hand. This is, you know, I'm not David Copperfield. This is exactly how it works. So they get a copy of it, and the copy gets sold out into the market. Now, what normally happens is someone who's shorting the bond market will take the proceeds from that and buy stocks. If you ever wondered why, when I tell you interest rates and stock markets go up together or down together, it's because people short the bond market, take the money from shorting the bond, and buy equities. That's usually what happens. So now that you're getting the picture that one bond, right, can become two, there's actually studies have been done, and it's very hard to account for this, that for every one bond, one real bond in the market, there are more than two copies of it out there. So when you have a concentrated effort of shorting, which is what we're seeing by the CTAs, particularly in the overnight future markets, it's literally inundating the market with huge supplies of treasuries, just day after day after day. And the market's trying to absorb them. I mean, it's pulling them in like a sponge. It's trying like, okay, well, we'll take it. We're going to take it at a lower price, but we'll take it in these machines. They're just programmed. They don't say, hey, you know, this is a terrible sell point. We should wait. No, it's just, oh, we hit a sell point, sell, sell, sell. Oh, we're done selling. Oh, we hit another signal, sell, sell, sell. And the problem is there's so much money in these machines that not only can they trigger their purchase and chase each other higher, they can chase each other lower. And so what I actually expected was what we're seeing in the bond market is someday what we'll see in the equity market when stocks eventually do go down and everyone figures out the economy is not that great, that these machines will persistently sell till they go neutral and then short, 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 and short. And there'll be a point where everyone will say, well, when are stocks going to bottom? And the machines will continue to sell. So now that you understand that the market is being deluged with a supply of bonds is only part of the problem. Because we're in the middle of a pandemic and still in the middle of a recession. And what are governments doing right now? They're issuing a lot of bonds. Why? Because they need to provide stimulus because the economy is on life support, right? They got the paddle and they're trying to shock it back into life and keep it alive because they know if they don't, things get really bad. And they are bad. They're going to get even worse. So governments are issuing a lot of debt too. So all of a sudden you have this massive concentrated issuance of debt and dumping, photocopying and of new bonds hitting the market. Not only new bonds, but existing bonds just flooding the market. So if those of you who follow the treasury auctions, and we do that on the shows, you'll notice that the bid to cover has been now consistently below the six-month average, which everyone's going, oh, there's no demand for bonds. Or maybe it's just because these machines are dumping so much of them, the market's like, look, I got plenty. I don't need a whole lot more of these things, so why would I bid on them when I can just wait tomorrow night when these machines dump some more and go short? I can just buy them then. So you have this huge deluge of bonds sitting in the market. Now, the Fed is trying to absorb it, right? They're the mop, right? So the Fed is going around mop. Every month, $80 billion of mopping up treasuries every month, and they can't mop up fast enough, which sort of makes us wonder then, why isn't the Fed doing more? Well, that's a good question. Why aren't foreign central bankers doing more? Because the bond market is making them look like chumps, and all they have to do is come in and fix the problem. Now, how would they do that? Well, they could do more QE, right? So the Fed could come in and say, you know, it's $80 billion a month, and it's not enough, we're going to do some more. Or they could say, you know what, we're going to extend our purchases out in the maturity curve. So we're going to cut our purchases, say, TIPS and short-term notes and buy predominantly 10-year, 20-year, and 30-year. They could do that. They could do an operation twist where they take their treasury bills that they're holding on their balance sheet and swap those for bonds. They could do those things. A foreign central banker could say, hey, you know, I think I want to devalue our currency because the dollar's too weak. I will print money and buy treasury bonds. They can do that. But see, a lot of people can't figure out why is it that I'm not bailing on this, because there's two ways out of this and they both end in a massive bond rally. And here's how cool it is, because this is where people don't understand the bond market. So there's two ways out. One, the Fed will have to come to the rescue, or some other central bank, or be all of them coordinated effort to say, look, we have to bring interest rates back down and stop looking like the fools we look like. That would trigger a massive short squeeze in the bond market, a huge one, the biggest one ever in history, because I have a good idea now, thanks to the CTA position of TD Ameritrade, where these machines are sitting. I know how deep short they are, and I know at their price they will start to unshort. Surprisingly, it's higher, not as high. I've shown you where they start to switch back. Yeah. If you wonder how we can see the longer the curve gets to zero, these things aren't going to go fully long until it's way too late. And at that point, they could easily drive the back end of this curve to zero. So that's one way out, is the Fed will have to rescue the market. Because if the Fed doesn't, let's say the Fed just sits on their hands and says, hey, you know, this will all work itself out. Well, they're going to still buy bonds. They're still buying bonds every month. So once this selling stops, whenever that is, maybe it's today, I don't know, maybe it'll be tomorrow, maybe next week, but at some point it will stop. And the Fed will continue to come along, mop, all these shares up, and that will drive prices up. It will squeeze those who are short and eventually trigger a big squeeze. But if the Fed doesn't react, here's the other way out. And this is really critical that we understand, is we are in a massive credit deceleration. So if we look at this chart of all loans and leases, and we look at this every week, you see massive deceleration in credit. The 3-month and 6-month rate are negative, probably the 9-month rate, but I don't track it. And the year-on-year rate will be negative probably by the end of March. And why is this important? Well, because we're in a liquidity trap. And in a liquidity trap, there isn't enough money to take care of everything. So there's always going to be some losers. Think of it like a game of musical chairs. There are 10 participants and 8 chairs. When the music stops, it's every day or whatever it stops, somebody doesn't have enough money to pay their bills, to stay in business, to keep their job, whatever it is, feed their family. Unfortunately, those things are happening. So when you're in a liquidity trap where the central bank is taking the velocity of $120 billion a month down to zero, you not only have to overcome that hurdle first, but you need it even more. So you need this money supply to grow rapidly, which unfortunately is no longer going to be reported every week because they've gone to a monthly report. So you need the money supply to grow really high. Well, what does a credit contraction do to money? It destroys it. So when you have a negative year-over-year run of credit, it means money is being, anytime it goes negative, it means money is being destroyed. So as those principal payments are made, money is being destroyed. And that puts what type of pressure on the money supply? Downward. And when you have a credit contraction in a liquidity trap, it's bad news. That's called the Great Financial Crisis. It was a liquidity trap that turned into a credit contraction. So that is a bad angle. And if at that point you say, okay, if the Fed then comes to the rescue, we're going to lower rates, it's too late. Because the economy is already dead at that point. The patient's already died on the table. You can't resurrect it. And then everything goes crumbling down. So there's two outs. One, either the credit contraction gets so severe, the economy will continue to get worse regardless of stimulus, regardless of anything, or the central bankers come to a rescue. That is the way out of this situation. So hopefully that gives you a better picture of kind of what's going on now that you understand that these machines were replicating massive amounts of bonds. Now think of it in reverse, right? So the Fed's going to, some point it's going to stop. The downward move will stop. The Fed's going to chew away at this chunk. Other buyers will come in and buy it up. The auctions will start at some point, get better because there won't be this massive selling. And when these machines have to come back and buy, there's going to be less supply for them. Isn't that interesting? Because not only have to cover their shorts, but they're going to end up going long. I'm telling you, that's how it gets to zero. All right, let's take a look at the economic data because I want to show you the credit contraction is already happening. You can see it. It's pretty cool. Let's go back to yesterday's data. We've got average earnings coming out of Great Britain are up on a year-over-year basis. This seems to be the recurring trend around the world that those who have work are getting paid more money. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who don't have work. Industrial new orders out of Italy are up from 5 to 7%. We're seeing this in the data. There is strong demand for new orders. A lot of orders are stuck in the supply chain, but retailers and wholesalers are building up for a huge surge in demand, which may not be there. Out of the Eurozone, consumer price index went from deflation, -0.3, to inflation at 0.9 in January. So you see that there are inflationary pulses going across the world. Part of that is due to the weaker dollar here in the U.S. not helping matters. I mean, it's helping creating inflation in commodity space, but you see a commodity-driven inflation. But when we look at some of the data, it's not getting passed on to the consumers. Redbook, same store weekly retail sales down 0.8% year over year. These year over year numbers should start to get skewed because remember back at this time last year, we were just about to go into that, panic of the pandemic. And so some of these year over year numbers are going to look a little better than they normally do. Home prices continue to drive higher. Remember, these are going to be rejected at some point. 11.4% in December because there won't be enough money to keep them going. Conference Board Consumer Confidence Survey. Usually stock prices follow consumer confidence, meaning stock prices, which think they're way up here, should be way down here. Consumers are not that confident about what's going on. Let's look at the Richmond Fed. So here's the manufacturing, where the manufacturing services. So these are showing the percentage of firms increasing. Let's see, is that right? Let's see. Yep, percentage of responding firms increase, minus percentage reporting decrease. So it's net. So manufacturing, you're seeing what? The overall index up, shipments up, new orders up, backlog of orders up. That's tend to where you get inflation. Past utilization's up. But look at this vendor lead time. Wow, way up. And there's part of your problem is they just have these huge lead times right now, probably due to shipping. Finished good inventories are down. Raw materials are down. Employees are up. Wages are up. But here's the key thing. Prices paid. Now, the prices paid is expressed as a percentage change. Now, if there's inflation, so prices paid these are input prices by the manufacturer are rising at 4.47% a year. Now, in an inflationary environment, you can pass this on to the consumer. But look at prices received, rising to 2.83%. And you can see month after month, they have not kept up with that. So what this is doing is causing a squeeze on the what's called on the margin, meaning manufacturers are less profitable because they can't pass those higher prices on. That is not what you get in an inflationary environment. That's what you get in a liquidity trap where you can't pass the prices, higher prices on. The services sector kind of tells the same story. Revenues, I mean, this is interesting. Revenues are down. Why is that? Because prices paid up 3.1% year over year, prices received up 1.26%. And there's pressure. Wage pressure is up. Employees are up. Spend, you know, they've got some pressures. Demand is up, but they can't get those prices passed on. That is a liquidity trap. I mean, you're seeing it right here in the data. Two-year note auction demand was weak, but the issuance was pretty, I think it was all-time low two-year auction. Let's get into the Wednesday data. What's of interest? Mortgage applications. You want to see consumers rejecting higher interest rates? Here you go. Minus 11.4% last week. And so this is really key, is what you find is when rates go up, right, and you're in a liquidity trap, they will get rejected. And that's why they go back down, is because they get rejected. And there's a massive amount of debt that's being refied this year, next year, and the year after, particularly by the energy space, which is pretty interesting in itself. And so what happens is you have to refinance at a higher rate. Guess what happens to your service costs? They go up. But if you can't refinance, you know, maybe you default or you go to an insolvency phase of some sort. So these higher rates are a problem, and you're seeing right there in the data, they've already been rejected. And so that leads to a further contraction in credit, and residential real estate's already in a contraction, and fewer mortgage applications sure aren't going to help that at all. Today, we got new home sales up. We had Fed Chair Powell speaking today. And what did he say? We're never going to, well, he didn't say it, but he pretty much said, we will do QE pretty much forever. Don't worry, we're not going to stop. These crude oil reports do not reflect this last week of what went on in Texas, but notably, the market was expecting a big draw. Inventories were up. Suspect next week this will be all over the board. The one I'm keeping an eye on is gas inventories, expecting a big draw. They too were up, and we're already seeing signs that the summer travel season is going to go away. And that will be, once again, bad for the crude industry. Today's five-year note auction was not very good, but five-year note auctions, well, they haven't been very good. Five and seven is just not very popular. Tomorrow's a seven-year. So anyways, hopefully today you kind of understand why this deluge of selling in the market has been driving bond prices down. Now, what will happen is some point we can look at, here I found the symbol for ZB. And you can see at some point, once this selling stops, it will start to get reversed and start to move back up. And then these short sellers will key back in. This is also one of those reasons that people say that technical analysis is great. Technical analysis does not trigger when these machines buy or sell. It is not based on any lines drawn on any charts anywhere. Any thought that where this stops by technical analysis is nearly pure luck based on those machines, because they could start selling again tomorrow. Maybe today it's over. I don't know, but we'll find out soon enough. But you can see a nice day buying in TLT and a nice strong volume day, suggesting today could be a bottom, but too soon to tell. Anyways, thanks for being fans. Thanks for liking. Thanks for staying around. And be sure to subscribe. We'll see you on Friday for the macro show, where we'll take a look at the credit data. And I think we'll have the monthly money supply data out to look like at, which is important because flat money supply means liquidity trap, not enough money to go around. Party eventually comes to an end. And when you see the big picture, either the Fed's going to react or credit's going to contract, the bond market, the bond kingdom will rise again. You'll see that. I'll be here with you. I'm Steve Van Meter. Thanks for watching. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information and is not intended to provide investor or other advice. Shares not to be construed as a recommendation or solicitation by our Social Security financial instrument or participate in any particular trading strategy. Israel West Pair by Steve Van Meter. Personal past opinions expressed in the video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advising or Steve Van Meter Financial.